And we're really delighted that Kevin Jones, who has agreed to host this meeting, and we're very pleased he has, and incidentally, he's also a tweeter. He's actually taken a photo, had a photo taken of himself and tweeted out that he's here and that we've got a meeting. So look on your tweets, GlobalNet21, and you'll see that he said it out. And he sent a photo of himself as well. Anyhow, Kevin is one of the first MPs to come out, and Charles Walker, I believe, was the other MP, a Conservative, to talk about the problems of depression and what he's been through, and to talk about it so that people don't feel they have to hide it. They can live normal lives, people can accept it. So he's going to speak first. Thank you again for hosting this, and Kevin, over to you.
Thank you very much for coming tonight, and thanks very much for the opportunity for me to speak to you tonight. Just a bit of background about myself. I'm Kevin Jones. I'm a Member of Parliament for North Durham. I have been since 2001. Before that, I was a full-time trade union official in shipyards and legal officer for the GMB Trade Union in the North East of England. I was also in the last Labour government Under Secretary of State for Defence. Now, people that know me know that I'm no shrinking violet when it comes to the rough and tumble of politics. But what a lot of people have got no idea about me is I suffer from depression. Now, I want to, when I say I suffer from depression, I still do. And I want to just tell you about my own experience. I first spoke about this book on the 14th of June this year. In a debate which, if people haven't read it, they should, not just for my contribution, but for the actual general debate, which I think was actually the House of Commons at its best, which is actually about mental health. Now, I was speaking that debate because I wanted to raise the issue of ATOS and the way in which they're treating many of my constituents who have got long-term mental health issues. Now, I thought long and hard that should I speak about my own mental health. And I've got to say, the night before, I thought, well, no, should I, shouldn't I? And if I hadn't, no one would have been the wiser. But I would have felt a bit of a fraud in the sense that I'd spoken about other people's problems and issues and not my own. So actually, people say, when did you actually decide to speak? Well, I didn't actually decide to speak until I was actually on my feet and actually put my notes down. I had a major breakdown in 1996, and I think in terms of re-evaluating my life at that time, what caused it? Well, there was quite a few things going on work-wise and other things in my own life at that time. But when I look back, I think I'd suffered from depression all my life. I actually went to my GP thinking I was having a heart attack, which a lot of people do in terms of having physical symptoms, which you think, you know, to which he said to me, I know very well, Kevin, there's nothing bloody wrong with you physically. He said, you're suffering from depression. Now, like a lot of other people, a lot of men in particular, I don't suffer from depression. I'm not the type of person that should suffer from depression. We are wired, and I was then also a senior counsellor on the city council, are wired in politics not to admit that we have some type of frailty. I certainly don't see my depression as some type of frailty or weakness. But the help I got then, I think, was important. It was a very dark time for me, and anyone who's been through it knows that very dark time. And, you know, the simplest things that, frankly, if you are got good mental health and things that you enjoy, you don't enjoy anymore. You actually, you know, fall out and argue with people that you should really love and cherish. You're only trying to help you. The worst thing you can say to someone with depression is pull yourself together. My response to that is I'm not a bloody pair of curtains. And I give one example of my depression, which I think is my milk bottle story. I can remember when I was depressed, I dropped a bottle of milk in the kitchen. Now, everyone in this room when we had milk bottles dropped a bottle of milk. It's no great thing. But when I was depressed, I thought this was the end of the world. I dropped a bottle of milk. Why had I dropped a bottle of milk? There must have been a reason for this. And as everyone knows who the thought pattern when you're depressed goes, it starts at the bottle of milk and then keeps going round to the frank. There must be some greater issue that you've dropped this bottle of milk for. Now, I look back now and laugh at it, actually. But at the time, I must have spent hours worrying why I dropped a bottle of milk. Well, there's no logic, an accident. It slipped out of my hands. It happens to everybody. Now, in terms of trying to explain to that someone, I think it's very difficult. But the smallest things that somebody says to you, you pick up, and actually you know, rotate around your mind. That mind starts at one side and keeps going round, and before you know, a small offhanded comment becomes a massive issue that you spent hours and actually then not getting the sleep that you actually need. Now, two issues, and I don't mind saying this, is that did I take antidepressants? Yes, I did. Was that the right course for me? Yes. Did I have talking therapies? Yes, later on. I needed that, drug therapist at the beginning for about 3 years to get me back onto that even keel. Now, I know there's this great controversy about people saying the debate is either talking therapies or medication. I'm sorry, I think that's a bit too simplistic. I think what you need to do is look at the individual and see what works for them. Now, I know some people say you could give them, you know, Bob Martin's, you know, dog tablets, and people would feel better. Well, frankly, if that's the case, good. If it gets people to access into the help that they need. There's been a lot of talk about, to me, well, why did you actually speak now? Well, I've got to say, it's been great for my mental health actually speaking about it in public, because it, as anyone who's got depression knows, it's one of those things that you keep it, you know, you try and dodge around in terms of, trying to avoid the lengths you go to actually hide these things. I'll give you one practical example for me. When I was a minister, I had to go to Afghanistan quite a number of occasions, and when you go there, you have to have a medical. And the Minister of Defence said, I want you to go for their medical. I said, no, my doctor will fill in any application. And that's because I was actually, I think, terrified of the fact that I'd find out that I'd actually had a mental health history. In hindsight, it doesn't really matter. I don't really care now in terms of what, and it's actually been a great relief to me that that's actually happened. But since I spoke out, what has also been remarkable is the number of people that come up to me who've actually said, by the way, do you realise I've suffered from some type of mental illness? And since I, myself and both Charles spoke, thousands of emails and letters and telephone calls. Can I just pick three just as an example? Because I've said this before, depression is an equal opportunity condition. It makes no discrimination about who actually suffers from depression. I had a person I've known for many years who's now chief executive of a large council in the north of England. And if you met her and she stood here today, she's the most confident, intelligent individual you could ever meet, and runs a very large multi-billion pound council. She suffered, she rang up and said, did you realise that I'd suffered from, and I actually knew at the time, and I just thought she was off on maternity leave, she'd suffered from very severe postnatal depression. The other remarkable one, and I'm still working on it, trying to actually speak publicly, is actually a Major General I worked with in the Ministry of Defence. And again, an individual who stood here in full dress uniform, you would not think would have ever suffered from depression, but he did 10 years ago. And I think it was partly because of his rank in the army that he actually got the help that was needed. And the other one was the president of a large international defence company. Again, very competent. Someone who 10 years ago was actually sectioned and had depression, but his company, fair to him, saw him through it. So I think that they're the three. But the other one is that I can't tell you anybody in this room who's got any mental illness or not. And I think that's the issue, that you've got many people that are there. And if there's one thing that I hope that what I've said is, and Charles has done, is actually make it okay to actually speak about it. Because how do we actually get over the taboo? I actually think all we need to do is keep talking about it. And actually trying to... I think there is a sea change in the media in terms of people's attitude. And that's good. And I think in terms of... The media reaction both to Charles and myself speaking, and also the pair of us won the Spectator. I'm not saying I'm very pleased that I've won this award from the Spectator magazine a couple of weeks ago for our speeches. So I think there is a change in attitude, and I think we just need to keep pressing that on. Because that's the way I think we're going to change people's attitudes to it. The other thing I think which is worth doing is basically get to understand about different types of mental illness. And that's why I thought the schizophrenia report the other week was excellent in terms of highlighting the schizophrenia. You know, if you got someone living next door to you suffering from schizophrenia, they're not the mad axeman that's going to knock the, you know, knock the door down, or you're under any threat from. So if we talk about it more, that's the better. Now, I think one of the bravest things you can do if you suffer from any form of medication is ask for help. There is help there. Mm-hmm. You need to ask for it. That's not a sign of weakness. That's a sign of strength, in my opinion. It's a big step, I think, for a lot of people, especially men, and especially a lot of young men who don't feel that they can actually ask for that help. But that is a key major strength. Now, I, again, what I'm going to say now might seem very strange to people in the room. I actually think I've benefited from being depressed. Now, that might seem a bit counterintuitive what I'm saying, but the reason for that is that I actually think differently. I've now come to understand that everything in here is through these two eyes. Is I've got a clue what you're thinking about me or vice versa, or anybody else in this room. It's my own interpretation of events. I think now more logically, I think, in terms of the way I think, in terms of the way I deal with difficult situations, and I certainly had to take some very, very difficult decisions when I was a minister in the Ministry of Defence. So I think it's actually benefited me, actually trained my mind to actually think that way. And I think if you can see that positive side to it, I think there's also, some type of lurking respect for that thing that a lot of people call the black dog. Now, do I still suffer from depression? I think, yes, I do on occasions. I have my bad mood dates. My partner, she says, you know, you're a pain to live with at times, which is fair enough. I am. But actually, now to do it, one of the things I do is if you see me going a long walk, like at the weekend for 10 miles, then that's the way I deal with it. But again, there are coping mechanisms to deal with it. And the last thing I'd just like to leave you with is this, is suffering from mental illness, and I accept there are a lot of other people, I'm not suggesting that I am the example to everyone. There are a lot of other people suffering a lot worse than I did. And I accept that, and I think there's ways that we need to cope on an individual basis. But mental illness should be no barrier to either having a successful career, family life, or actually making what I would say is a positive contribution to society. Thanks very much.